you, Uncle Josh and Papa. So at this time then, we get to call Brother Jay Ford to give us the preview for his studies this weekend.
Thanks, Brother Jacob. Good evening, everyone. I just want to give a couple of introductory comments tonight. We're going to play a little game. We're going to have a little exposition all in one at separate times. But I just want to, to begin, I want to thank you very much for the invitation to be with you. I really enjoy being with young people who are becoming passionate about the Word of God and who are interested in it, and also dedicated enough to put some time into some study. Because I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but I'll be completely honest with you. I did a lot more study when I was your age than I've been able to do in the last 7 or 10 years. So make so much of the time that you have now. Make that time as best you can, because it does get more difficult in many cases when you get older. So thank you very much for inviting me and for all of your work on the workbook. Now, later in the week, we may possibly get this device working. But what I just wanted to do real quick was just put a couple things. If you can come and look at the couple of pictures that I have over here. So, I don't need to put this up here for two of us. I know it's a little small. I should have gotten the 15-inch. But no, you can see that. You can come up. And that is my family. We're a family of four Mayocks. I'm Jay. His sister Rebecca. We've got Mariah, who's in the back. Rye, put your hand up. There's Mariah. Her first, actually, it's her second youth conference, because she did a Manitoulin youth conference several years ago. I can't remember the year offhand. And this is our newest member of the family, Bethel. And Bethel is almost two. Rebecca and Bethel, God willing, will be here on Thursday evening. So she had a fever. We couldn't fly with her. We were too afraid. We could technically fly. The plane would still work. But we just thought it would be better to keep her behind so that she could feel better. And it would be better for everybody. So we didn't like bring like an affliction to you all. And also traveling with a sick kid is very sad too. So that's one picture. Here's another little picture of us at, not all of us, but at Chippensburg. Now, the last time that Sister Rebecca and I were around with our family, we also brought Sister Diane when we were around this particular area. Do anybody know Sister Diane Peeler? Other than Katie, who knows everybody in North America? Yeah. So there is Sister Rachel Kennedy, formerly Peeler as well. So there's just a couple family pictures. And that was at Chippensburg Bible School this year. All right, we're going to start with the game. And this is really, really, it should just be review. It's just informative, and I'm going to use that, so you're not going to have to use that. I see people like, I can't even see what I'm... So we're going to use the board, but I'm going to need some help. So I'm going to need... you have to have impeccable writing. So I don't just want an enthusiastic somebody. You need to have, like, impeccable writing. Now I've scared everyone. I'll have to do it myself. What's that? Yeah, it means good. Yeah, sorry. It means, can you have good writing?
No.
just checking. Oh, I see people nominating other people. Do you have impeccable writing? Do you have fairly decent? Let me see. Did you do that now? You don't even have to do anywhere nearly that good. But since she didn't volunteer, I won't take her until she volunteers. That's right. Oh, you're amazing. Come on up. All right, so I'll give you your choice of whiteboards. Maybe we can use this one over here. What I'd like you to do is you can use a color of your choice. And anyway, what you're going to do is you're going to set this up. And it doesn't have to be, because that would take forever, I would imagine. So I'm going to leave this right over here. And I'm going to give like a little introduction. So if you can just copy that up there so that everybody can see it. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Not Bible marking
size. Yeah, that's right. The 8 point of... Bible marking. Ooh, how many people take notes in their Bible? Good. Just make sure that when you do it, you do a little bit larger than you think you should. Because I'm 38, and I'm still a young person. And I'm finding it is starting to get tricky from like the podium. So do make sure that you're doing this in such a way where you can use it in the future. While Sister Martha is working on this, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 20, okay? And I hope you know why we're going to John chapter 20. Because our theme verse is here. Look at what it says in verse 30 of John chapter 20. Verses 30 and 31. It says that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The God of heaven is seeking to develop a family through his Son. Do you see what he calls our Lord Jesus Christ here? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God is looking to develop a family. This work that we are engaged in, young people, is about developing a family in God. It is about relationships. And Brother Josh, when he was up here, he was talking about the mission, the purpose of conference here, which is not just to develop a relationship with God, which is essential and the foundation of all things, but it is to develop a relationship with each other. So that was amazing. That was fantastic. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but I see you're very interested in what's happening to my right. So we'll move on from there. Now, this is going to be a bit of a, I'm not going to say competition, so we'll just use the word contest, which of course means something completely different. The victor of this contest will be able to erase the board at the end. So it's not like you're, so if you have the most points, which I'm not even going to be keeping track, just be honest. And if you are one who gets the most correct here, that would be wonderful. So this is all individual. It's not team. And we will begin. Thank you so much, Martha. That's wonderful. Excellent. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That was perfect. Very easy to read. Now, so this is just going to be a quick review, and then we're going to go through, we're going to save some of the expositional pieces of our introduction tonight for the very end, okay? Is you ready? Get you, all right, let's go. So who's going to go first? And pretty much all you have to do is read one of the things which have been written more than legibly up here, the title's up here. So our first category is signs 1 through 4. Second, signs 5 through 8. Then we have fill in the blank. Ooh, fill in the blank is when I read a verse to you, and you're going to have to fill in the blank. Over here, this is where did it happen? Who said it? And it all has relationship to the 8 signs of John and the context thereof, which you've been acquainted with in the workbook over your studies. So this is just to get us thinking about that which happens. This is not a review of the lessons. This is just to get us re-immersed in the 8 signs. This should be a piece of cake for everybody. Not entirely true. Some of it's kind of tricky. So, yes! Go ahead.
Who said it 200?
Who said it 200? That's confidence. That is like brimming with confidence to be like, I'm not even going to pick the 100. I want to pick 200. That is great. Oh, okay. I'm not going to erase it yet. So now you can use any resources you want. You can use your workbook, the Bible, people next to you, like Jakin. Yes, absolutely. So it's really low pressure. So here's the question. Where did the 5th and 8th sign take place? The 5th and the 8th. Oh, I'm so. Sorry. No. I'm just making sure you're following me here. Yeah. 200.
Yes, please.
It's jet lag. Okay. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Who said it? For 200.
I have a question.
Oh, yes.
Is it when say, Claudia asks what he wants, is he the one that answers?
Yes. Oh, he answers. Yes, of course. Yeah, sorry about that. Very good. Oh, he's looking right in the right context, too. Look at that. I didn't think about limiting the time when I was planning this. But, oh, sorry.
Is it the head waiter?
Is that, what version are you using?
NASB,
and it's head waiter, you said?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all right. So this one says, the governor of the wedding feast of Cana, which is the head waiter. Well done. 200 points for you. So I'm going to take it. There's even celebration from the back. Yeah! That's good. It's a good celebration. So you got 200 points. That's all yours. It's exactly right. Now, one of the interesting things about the governor of the feast is, and I haven't solved this, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this tonight is for this reason. There are going to be questions that you still have about the eight signs of John. You probably still have many of them, like, why did this happen? Why did it say this? Why does that word mean that? I still, after 13 years ago, we did this at Manitoulin Youth Conference, and there are still pieces of the sign that I'm working through. And I talk to older brothers and sisters, and guess what?
They don't.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But there are things that they're wondering about and they're searching for. But if we have relationships with each other, where we're able to reach out to each other and try and work through these things, it will help us. And with that, to still not forget all the things we have learned, that we do know for sure about what these things mean. So that word head waiter or governor of the feast, it actually means a ruler of three couches. Did you have a look at that word? Now, if you can find out why that's the case, I'd love to know. And more so, why that's biblically significant, because I haven't been able to find the answer to that particular question. So thank you very much. That's one. All right, if we go through all of this at the same pace, because we have till about 8 o'clock, correct? So we'll be here. We've got plenty of material. So who's got another? Josh Budney, what do you got?
Fill in the blank,
100. Fill in the blank. 100. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. And then there are four words that follow. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Blank, 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 blank. Josh Budney, you have a very excited youth conference attendee. Yes! Yes, very good. Very good. That nothing be lost. John chapter 6, verse
12.
Well done. Very well done. You get an extra 100 points for that because you told me where it was. Nice job. Very good. All right. Anybody? Oh, now, one of the reasons that's so significant, that particular phrase, do you think our Lord is just simply saying, hey, just make sure that you're being respectful with the material things that God gives you? Or is there something much, although that's true, gather up the fragments that remain of the bread and the fish that nothing be lost? Is he just trying to teach frugality there? Something bigger, right? Something much bigger, much more significant than that. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about that in our discussion groups as well. Okay, we have, the board is wide open. I like your enthusiasm. Yes?
Where did it happen, 400?
Did you say 400? He's like, I don't know, the 100 and the 200 were kind of easy, Brother Jay. I'm going to do 400. Where did it happen? Where did it happen? Where did John baptize? Yes. What's that? That's very good. That is 400 points. That's 400 points. But I have to dock you 200 because you didn't tell me the verse, so I'm going to have to. I'm just kidding.
Just totally kidding.
You can have all 400. All right, who's up next? Beth Abra beyond Jordan. Go ahead.
Sign 5 to 8, 300.
Sign 5 to 8, 300. What was the seventh sign? Yes, very good. Right off the top, the raising of Lazarus. Very good. How many people feel like you have them committed to memory? It's tricky, isn't it? Unless, especially when somebody puts you on the spot. What's the fourth sign? Hey, easy, right? But it takes a while. But it's good to have this information at our command when we do Bible study, so that we're more sensitive to the details of the text, because that's how we figure out what it starts to mean, and that's how we can think about it in our heads. If we get those details in there, we can really start to think about what they mean and call them to attention when we need to. All right. Next, yes.
Fill in the blank 300.
Fill in the blank 300. Fill in the bank 300. Did I say bank? It's jet lag. I'm going to say a lot of things tonight. I'll be fine tomorrow. This sickness is not unto death. Blank, 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 blank. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This sickness is not unto death. Blank, 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 blank. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It's so much easier if you saw it. Maybe I should show it to you. Yes, very good. The sickness is not unto death. And what's the great tension in that verse? What happens to Lazarus after Jesus says the sickness is not unto death?
He dies.
He dies. As a matter of fact, we find out that Jesus stays in the same place when he hears that he's sick. How could he do something like that? That's going to be the subject for some of our discussion. All right, we have another. We have some time for some more. We're probably not going to be able to get to all of them because there is a little bit that I'd like to talk about at the end. Yes?
Signs 5 to 8, 400.
5 to 8, 400. Okay. What was the eighth sign? The harvest of fish, yes it was. Yes it was, the harvest of fish. How many?
One.
Well done. Do you think that matters? Me too. Who's up next? I think you're dominating. It's good. I think we can take two more. Yeah, go ahead.
Actually?
Yes. Yes.
Fill in the blank, 200.
Not fill in the bank, but fill in the blank. 200. Yeah, that's right. It's a different episode. Okay, 200. Oh, this is kind of tricky. You got, hold on. But he saith unto them, it is I, blank, blank, blank. Ooh, yes. Very good. Be not afraid. Very good. All right, we can do one more. And go ahead. Yes.
Where is it? Or where did it happen? 300.
Where did it happen? 200.
You said 300.
Did you really? Oh, sorry. Okay. 300. Where did it happen? 300. Which signs took place in Jerusalem? Which signs took place in Jerusalem? And just, I feel for you right now because I helped write the workbook. I can't think of them right now. There. What's that? Yeah, that's right. I've been thinking about it. That means I've been thinking about it for 16. Yeah. Yes. I was going to give you help, but you didn't need it. Very good. Three is the healing of the infirmed man by the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. And six is the healing of the blind man. And he was sent to the pool of Siloam. That's exactly right. Very good. Okay. What time, it's important for me to know this, should I sit down? Brethren.
8:00.
Okay, we can do one more. Yes.
Signs 1 to 4, 200.
You have a prediction I hear over there. I was doing that to encourage participation. What is the second sign? Yes, the healing of the nobleman's son. Very, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your participation. That was just to get us started, get us thinking about the eight signs. And now what I'd like to do is just share something with you that took me years to see. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is that I knew what the meaning of the first sign was, the water and the wine, after having done the workbook and researching that and talking with brothers and sisters about it. I was convicted in the meaning, and I'm still convicted in that same meaning. But now I can prove it more effectively, because the transformation of the water into wine within those stone vessels that were initially for the purification of the Jews can be seen without doing any kind of word study in John chapter 2. All we have to do is take our time and look at the context in John 1. That's all we have to do. It's so simple. It's not in the workbook, because I hadn't seen it when we wrote the workbook. So can I just share something with you?
Yes, please.
The water pots, the transformation of that which was inside the water pots, as we'll find out when we talk in our discussion groups, has everything to do with the transformation of what's inside of us. Right? We know that. You probably think about some of the verses that have to do with that. But did you know that up till that point in John chapter 1, we find out that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is one who is immeasurably full of who God was. And what's more than that, he is concerned about what's inside other people. Did you know that that happens in John chapter 1? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1 at verse 12, just to begin with, for context. This is just a little point, but I love these little points because it's not a little point. Just because it's a simple point doesn't mean that it's unimportant. It's an incredibly important point, and it's here clearly in the text. Verse 12, but as many as received him, as many as received the light of the world, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, now listen to this, full of grace and truth. The Apostle John, writing by the Spirit of God, tells us that. Hey, I want you to know something. Matthew doesn't tell us about it in this place. Luke doesn't tell us about it in this place. Mark doesn't tell us about it in this place. But John is like, before we start to talk about the rest of the stuff, you got to know that he was full of grace and truth. And he keeps going. Look what he says after this. And John bare witness of him. Let me tell you, that word witness in John chapter 1, that's something else. But we're going to talk about that too in one of our classes. That's big. For the first sign, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And now John the apostle continues his writing, and look what he says. And of his, what's it say? Fullness. What was Jesus full of? Verse 14. Grace and truth. And John says, guess what? We have some of that. Of his fullness, of his grace, and of his truth have all we received. And so already we have this figure of the Lord Jesus Christ being full of that which is good, grace and truth, and he's putting that into his disciples. John's like, I have some of that. The Lord gave me some of that. He filled us up. It doesn't stop there either. Look what it says down when the Lord now starts finding people. Look what it says in verse 45. This is now where the disciples are starting to draw together. Ones who were initially disciples of John are now becoming disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that Philip findeth Nathanael. This is after Jesus finds Philip. And said unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, so this is Nathanael, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You think he's interested in what's inside Nathanael? And Nathanael's walking to him, and Jesus looks at him just like you or I would look at a water pot. And he looks at him, and he can tell what's inside of him. What's inside Nathanael? What's it say? Behold, an Israelite indeed. Now, what's the NASB say? Yes, and what's it say? Behold a, what kind of Israelite?
An Israelite indeed.
Oh, it says Israelite indeed?
Yeah.
Does anybody else have another translation or know what the word indeed means here? It means true. Behold, a true Israelite in whom is no deceit, there's no falsehood in you. So Jesus looked at him and he sizes him up and he wants to, with the sincerity that's inside Nathanael, he wants to fill him up. Do you think it's enough to be a good person, young people? It's not. He was a wonderful man, but he needed to be filled up still. And the Lord had a wonderful beginning with which to work with Nathanael, but he was going to fill him up. He was going to fill him up with his grace and his truth. And so what I hope in looking through these things is for us to put ourselves not only there, but also to think about the fact that what is recorded here and the meaning of that. When we come to the water pots in chapter 2, we already know what it is that Jesus has been talking about, that John has been talking about. He's been talking about that which is inside himself and inside other people, inside the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to take those things and draw it out to each other. So, I think that's it for right now. We'll talk about this a little bit more, and I'll finish the second part of my introduction.